Okay, this is April 5th, 2011. This is Paul Kinsley, and I'm interviewing Bruce Thompson, who's a Peace Corps volunteer in Bolivia from June 1963 to June 1965 as a university teacher. Okay, kind of describe your present family, work, current residence, and interests.
Okay, I'm a professor at Milwaukee School of Engineering, and I teach mostly management courses, some statistics, some supply chain management, some operations management. I'm married to Kathleen Bo Miller, who's an attorney in town, and we have a daughter, Laura, who's a master's degree student in music in London.
Okay, kind of try to think back to the year before you joined the Peace Corps. And talk about life then. You know, you can include your childhood, education, and other experiences relevant to becoming a volunteer.
I went into the Peace Corps directly out of college, and I finished up in 1963 with a bachelor's in physics at Amherst College, Amherst, Massachusetts. I grew up all over the country. My father was an engineer who relocated. And so while I was going to college, my parents were living in California.
Okay. Why did you join the Peace Corps?
It seemed like more of an adventure than, you know, anything else. I wasn't really set on what I wanted to do in graduate school. The kind of jobs. I've worked some summer jobs in a lab, Lawrence Livermore lab in California. I didn't find that terribly exciting.
Okay. Let's see. How did you hear about the Peace Corps, and what made you decide to apply?
Oh gosh, there was a lot of publicity about the Peace Corps at the time. It had been formed about 2 years earlier, and it was fairly easy to apply to get the applications. I think there was some sort of test that would qualify certain documents. There was just information all around.
What was the process and the timing? Did you have a specific country or project in mind?
I didn't. I had taken Spanish in high school, and so I think that's one reason I didn't take Bolivia. People they were looking for people with a background in science and math. Because, there was a new university that had just been formed, and the faculty for that.
Did you teach in English or
in Spanish? I did teach a couple of English courses with people who were trying to mostly get jobs with the Japanese companies. That was the language they used.
What were your friends and family's reactions when you were accepted? Was there any hesitation or reservation?
No, they were very supportive. In fact, about the time I think I left, my parents moved to Turkey to teach there.
I didn't know. What did they teach there?
Well, my father was an engineer, so he taught engineering courses. At the time, there was a college called Robert College.
Yeah.
That actually taught in English.
Yeah. What project were you invited to join?
Well, it was a project. I'm not sure what the title was, but it was we were all meant to teach, and I think we were all scheduled to teach in universities in Bolivia. We were mostly in this new university, but some of the people taught in other universities.
how did you prepare yourself and others for dislocation entering the 2 years of service? Did you have to make any special preparations or anything?
I don't think so. You know, I was I would have had to move anyway. I was graduating from a college student, so I didn't have an awful lot of possessions. Mm-hmm. And, it was a little more complicated because my parents were moving out of the country, so I wanted to just send things to them.
Okay, now I want you to talk about your training. Where was it? What was the faculty like? The syllabus, technical studies, reaction to other trainees?
Yeah, it took place at UCLA, and we had a number of sort of, well, we had some courses in Spanish, mostly conversation Spanish, based on State Department practice. We had some history and culture of Bolivia, and we also had some sort of psychological kind of almost an outer group who would express our feelings about things and open up.
How many people were in the group?
I think there were only about 20 of us for Bolivia. We trained with a group that was going to Peru as well.
Oh, okay. And
there were a few more of them. But we had joint training. Mm-hmm.
What about the selection process? Were there surprises, disappointments, or enjoyments? You all pretty much make it, or did they deselect people? Or?
I don't remember. I couldn't guarantee it, but I think everybody made it overseas.
Because that's very different from our group. We started out with 100, and we trained for 1 month, and then left with 50. We didn't get a chance to come home.
They decided that I wasn't outgoing enough to be a teacher, so there was an astronomical laboratory up above La Paz, which was very high, and the Peace Corps people at UCLA decided I was going to go there, but when I arrived in the country, the country director said, no, I want you to teach it. So that was
Do you feel that the training prepared you, and was it useful to your Peace Corps service?
Certainly the language practice was useful. Some of the other, I think that if anything that made you more nervous about going overseas.
Was that the psychological stuff?
I thought it was more. Had these sort of ones of all the mistakes you could make, profiles and such. Yeah. And I found that people there were much more forgiving of American mistakes.
Yeah.
They were sort of implying.
Okay, what was your initial entry into and reaction to the country? Do you remember tell about
not that? An awful lot. And sort of prepared about how we would get sick, so we know just about the food and that sort of thing. It seemed to me we were grown into teaching fairly quickly. We lived with families the whole time.
And how long was your training at UCLA?
I think it was 3 months.
3 months, and so it was, you trained there and you lived right there and then started your. Can you describe your project, the Peace Corps staff, impression of the local people, physical environment?
Well, I was in the capital city, so I didn't have the same sort of hardships that some people out in the countryside do. Living with local families, some of that was a little isolating.
You had electricity, did you?
We had electricity most of the time. You know, so we had rolling blackouts. They didn't have price controls on electricity for so long that the local electrical company had invested in last week. Water was somewhat uncertain.
Did you have to boil your water?
Yeah. There was an aqueduct coming down from the mountain, so I remember hiking along and people were washing their clothes and everything.
Okay. What about your assignment? What were some of the specifics of the job assigned, living conditions, typical day? Did you said you lived with a family?
Yeah.
Did you choose that, or did they pick you, or how did that work?
I think they sort of, you know, they had gotten volunteers. At some point, I've forgotten what it was, but I met another family and I decided I preferred to live with them, so I didn't move.
Yeah, and just some of the specifics of your job or living conditions, typical day.
Yeah, I would take the local bus to the university or walk there. Living conditions. I was sort of in charge of starting the physics department at the university. They bought a little bit of a laboratory.
So it was a pretty challenging job.
Yeah. And they didn't have a lot of books. I think they were copying American textbooks or translations of American textbooks. And probably the only building.
What about the Peace Corps staff? Did you have much to do with them at all?
They were in the same city, so they didn't stop by there. I do remember during the time going by the office and hearing that Kennedy had been shot. I learned about that. And that was a real shock throughout probably.
Yeah.
He was very popular in South
America. Yeah, like in Turkey he was too. They have, in hotels and restaurants, they have a picture of Ataturk, but at that time they also had a picture of Kennedy.
Yeah. Had pictures of it. They renamed their airport to Kennedy International Airport.
Yeah, he was better liked over there than he was here. Let's see. What about your impression of the local people and the physical environment?
Well, they were basically friendly people. They would have anti-American demonstrations, but I would sometimes attend those, and the people in the demonstration were, personally very friendly. Mm-hmm. I think they were starting to protest the Vietnam War.
And what about the physical environment? Like the weather or whatever?
Well, the possum is very high. And so it was cold enough to the time that it didn't have much heat.
Well, what kind of heat did they have?
Oh, electric heat. Little space heaters. Mm-hmm. I had a space heater in my office. Yeah, everything was cold most of the time.
Could you talk about any individuals that you encountered there? Just tell a little bit about some of the contacts with the people.
Well, I was living with local families, and they were, by our standards, they were pretty poor, though they were middle class. In many cases, there had been a land reform, so people had owned land that had been taken over by the campesinos. restrictions for example on importing cars, the cars were really big changes that people had out there. Some Bolivian colleagues
But what about other Peace Corps volunteers? What, do you have contact with them?
Yeah, there was a group of us in,
right at the university.
Yeah, at the university. Yeah. And I think and there were a number of, say, nurses that were in the, you know, the small towns or the villages, but they were coming to La Paz to on their breaks.
Let's see. What about the role of language? Would you use that? Would you use Spanish primarily?
Well, for teaching, used it. I actually didn't find that too hard because, I was teaching technical subjects, so the grammar is fairly straightforward. I don't think I ever became, there were people who really became, start to think in the language.
Right.
I never quite got to that point.
Okay, what about your work time versus your leisure time? You can describe both of them.
Oh gosh. It's hard to remember, but I think more or less, I was teaching classes when classes were there, preparing classes. I did do a fair amount of traveling around South America. We had breaks. We had, and just on weekends we had hikes up in the mountains. Overnight backpacking trips.
Did you do those with the other volunteers or with the
Sometimes, mostly with other volunteers, but sometimes with local people who were interested.
Okay, how did life and work change, say, over the first few months or like in the first year? At the end of the first year, to kind of try to, review in your mind the first year, what are some notable events and your, reflections after 1 year?
Gosh, there's an increasing number of demonstrations against the government, so that was kind of exciting. But more of that happened in the second year.
Okay. But what about some of your joys and woes or unexpected events?
I mean, I just enjoyed exploring the countryside. It's a spectacular place. In a day, you can get to a high mountain in the Andes. Sometimes either take bus trips or foot trips around the country.
What about, did you have any health problems, and what about your vacation and travel?
I think I got amoebas at one point. They treated them, and I think successfully. But they were very common. Almost everybody had them. The water wasn't trustworthy.
So, how did you treat those? Did they have a Peace Corps doctor there?
There was a doctor in the country. I forgot. There was some pill that was supposed to starve out, but it wasn't.
Okay, what about vacation and travel?
The biggest trip was one around to Chile and then Argentina and Brazil. I was mostly doing it by land, but it was so slow getting around that I ran out of freight time and had to fly back across from Brazil.
Okay, what about at the end of the tour? How did your second year, you know, vary from
well, the first? In the middle of the second year, there was a revolution. And the school that I was teaching at was one of the targets because it had been formed by Bolivian engineers who had graduated from American universities. So they said the local university felt it was a rival, and so students from that here, the revolution came and took over our university. And it was obvious that it was going to take a long time for them to get reorganized. And so I ended up moving to Cochabamba, Sucre, which is another city in Bolivia. It's officially the second capital, but the only thing that meets there is the Supreme Court.
Is it? How large is the city?
I'm guessing 40,000 people.
So was your whole group moved there? Or?
No, I just, I had a friend in the Peace Corps who was teaching there. I'm running out of time. It's likely I'm not going to be doing anything because they've invited us to come and teach at, you know, once they get the school reorganized.
And what about the other people who were teaching with you? Did they go other places too?
I'm not sure what they did.
Can you tell them about your escape?
Oh. When they were having the revolution, the Air Force turned against the government first. And so we were just a few blocks from the military base. The Army was in the Air Force base, but they know they're bombing the Army. And then the people were running up and down the street, and we could watch from our offices the local. There's a police station, and at some point they put out a white flag, and they said, you know, we're coming over to you. And we went out and embraced. But then, you know, all the local people hightailed it out of the school, and I was kind of slow. Closing up my office, and by that time they were shooting up and down the streets, I was paid. And then we discovered that there were a whole gang of students from the National University coming up the street and came over the wall into our school. And we decided to get out of there. And we had a courtyard with a cage in the back with jaguars in it. But the top of the cage was at the level of the roofs on the building behind it, and so we climbed up the jaguar cage, walked over the roofs, and there was a skylight in one of the houses, and there were people there, so they opened it up and let us come down. So that's how we escaped.
So how many people escaped?
I think there were three or four of the Peace Corps.
No. Everybody got away, did they?
Yeah, and I'm sure that probably if we had stayed, it would have been okay. We didn't know what was going on. And, so then the people invited us in. Then we were walking home, and we ran into a demonstration, and the vice president who had split with the president was riding on people's shoulders. I missed it, but apparently somebody in these crowds said, they're Americans, let's shoot them. But nobody took them up on it.
So, was there any thought of the Peace Corps pulling out during any of this uprising?
I don't think there was any discussion of that. Mm-hmm. We weren't really the targets of this.
And the targets were who?
Well, the existing government.
Yeah.
There was a kind of a left-wing kind of orientation to it. So they were looking a little at the school as a threat to the traditional.
Okay, what about at the end of your tour? Did you have a sense of achievement, failure? You know, what were some of the pluses and minuses in, you know, relations and work with the people?
I think, you know, for me it was an interesting experience. In a sense we filled in when they didn't have teachers. I don't think there was this great sense that we had constructed something that was going to continue and look at the band. In a certain sense, the institution itself, with the end of the strength of that. In the National University, as far as I can tell, they really emphasized, well, first they didn't have books, so they didn't teach courses, just to write the whole book on the board, and people would write it down verbatim.
What were some of the pluses and minuses in your work? Some of the real off times and your down times?
I'm not sure.
Did you get homesick or?
There was a little bit of that. I think they left about 10 minutes.
Did they visit you at all? Or?
No, but I visited them a year later or something. Because they were for a longer time.
What about you? Did you have any regrets or satisfactions that you care to comment on?
Oh, I think, I guess at the time, I would have preferred to be in the development area. I probably wouldn't have done well at it, but that seemed like the real Peace Corps experience, so I was kind of envious of it. I think I got less envious as I learned more about what they were doing and the frustrations they had. But the people out in the villages seemed like the real Peace Corps.
I was in two different villages, and it was tough going. We didn't get invited out for like 6 months. So I was with another guy, and he thought, it was something that we had done, or the way we, but it was, they were just kind of cool to everybody, So, once we didn't take it first, we got along a lot better.
There was this, often when we talked with people, there was this frustration because they would try to, do some sanitation project or something, and the local people had no interest.
I gave up pretty much all of that. I became a human relations expert, I guess. Did you have any plans for the future once you, coming back home?
Well, I decided I wanted to be an engineer, so I applied to graduate school. Also applied to the State Department for the Foreign Service, but it took so long for them to respond that I was not quite ready to do that.
Okay, overall, let's try to evaluate your service in light of the three goals of the Peace Corps. The first one is to provide technical assistance where requested.
I think I did. If you're talking about education, future education, so in that sense, it was useful.
went there. You know, what about to promote a better understanding of the United States? I don't feel like doing that.
Well, I think there is some element of that. So, you know, funding relations with local people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that, again, it's sort of moderate.
Okay, and the third goal is to promote a better understanding of other people by Americans. So that's...
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing, is that it would be more educational to us.
Yeah. Okay, through the years, have you continued any kind of involvement with your country of service or contact with the people at all?
I really haven't. And I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Have you been back at all?
I haven't.
Yeah. I've been back twice, and that was pretty...
Did you go back and see some of the same people?
Yeah, I did.
Put this on hold.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, we were talking about your involvement in the Peace Corps.
Yeah, I've been involved with some Peace Corps alumni groups, mm-hmm. you know, somewhat, but not intensive. But
mm-hmm. Have you,
it
like,
sort of comes and goes. You know, but,
have you done any like presentations to classes or anything like that? Or?
Boy, it's been a long time since I've done that. When I was in Turkey, my mother was teaching a class, and she invited me to come in to talk to her students about it. I think I've done it other than that.
Okay, and have you, sort of along the same line, have you done anything to promote, you know, a better understanding of the people you work with here in America, you know, in the U.S.?
I'm not, you know, the politics of, I'm not even sure whether Bolivia has a peace corps group or not. Mm-hmm. For a long time they didn't. Mm-hmm. The local government became fairly hostile.
Okay, what about the effect on you of your Peace Corps service? How did that affect you? What areas of your life did it influence?
Oh gosh, well, it was my first experience of teaching. I thought it was a very valuable experience, a kind of thing. And it was a great adventure.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, you know, in terms of my career, you know, a lot of the people I went with, you know, pursued sort of the international relations.
Mm-hmm. Do you see where there was any change in yourself, you know, as a result of that?
Probably less than I would like to think.
Okay, do you have any, like, words of wisdom that you'd like to pass on to people who are listening to this tape, or?
Well, I guess, you know, I'd encourage people to do it. I think, you know, to do it but not expect it to necessarily be a life transforming experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good experience to have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say, or, you know, any, you know, experiences or things that really stick out?
One thing I didn't mention is that we, basically drove back from Bolivia. We ordered a Volkswagen that was delivered in Chile.
Wow.
And that was delayed for a couple of weeks because they had a strike in the port in Chile. And you could see our car out in the boat in the harbor.
Was this some other volunteers that did this?
Yeah, there was another volunteer, and then there was a Bolivian couple who had done it here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drove north. When we got to Columbia, we had to put it on a boat. Drove north through Central America. So that was most of the summer after we finished the school.
Let's see. I think that's pretty much it, unless you have any other things you'd like to express. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
So you're an image development person.